My name is Sebastian Henniger. I'm currently a postdoctoral research associate at Heriot Watt University, and I'm working on the effects of and the impacts of ocean acidification upon cold water corals. And now we all know quite a lot about tropical corals, but the cold water corals are often out of sight and out of mind, and they're not photosynthetic like the tropical ones. And because of this, it means that they can be found anywhere between 30 and 3,000 metres deep. And this has really facilitated their distribution around the world. And we're only now starting to understand that they also are going to be impacted by increasing ocean temperatures and also ocean acidification. And so here at Heriot Watt, we've done a number of short-term experiments, long-term experiments. We've set up a long-term ocean acidification facility where we can manipulate future ocean acidification conditions. So one of the ways in which we can investigate the impact of ocean acidification upon these cold water corals is we can run experiments on some of the cruises or the expeditions which we go on. And one of the ways we do that is we take some large containers, and so we effectively set up on the ship these large mini ocean experiments. And so we've got 1,000 litres of seawater, and we've got the corals in there with all the filtration equipment and the and water chilling equipment. And we bring pre-mixed gas with us, which is basically air with a slightly enriched volume, slightly enriched concentration of carbon dioxide, and we bubble that directly into the tanks. And so this increased carbon dioxide will reduce the pH. And so this is how we do it at sea. And then here at Heriot Watt, we've got 20 different mini ocean experiments as well, and which is 80 different tanks. And in these as well, we're actually mixing on-site carbon dioxide with air to give us that slightly enriched carbon dioxide content. And then we bubble these into the large volume of waters which we're using. And then, of course, these circulate between the tanks, and this is how we're controlling the CO2 conditions which we're wanting to investigate. So when we're looking at some of these impacts of ocean acidification upon the coral, visually it's very, very difficult to see any impact. So the corals are still putting out their polyps, they're still feeding as normal, so visually they look just the same. And it's only by putting these corals in our specialised chambers where we can really record the amount which they're breathing and respiring effectively, that we can really start to tease apart these differences. And also, one of the things which we look at is coral growth. And in tropical corals, it's quite easy to see growth sometimes because they grow just so fast. If you have a tropical coral and you put it in a tank, it may grow a centimetre a week. It's that quickly. But with the cold water corals, it may be a few millimetres in a year. So we have to use some different techniques, and for this we may put certain specifically labelled types of carbon in the water and see how they incorporate that into the skeleton, or we'll see how the coral changes the carbonate chemistry of the seawater, and from that we can infer on very, very small scales like how fast they're growing. And what we found is that over the short term is that these cold water corals reduce their respiration in response to increased ocean acidification or decreased pH. And when we think about the decrease in respiration, we think about the potentially decreased energy which they're going to be putting out. And so from there, we instantly look at their growth rates to see if this growth rate is impacted by a reduction in respiration rate. And what we find over a one-month time period is that we've got this reduction in respiration, but no change in growth rates. And from some of the recent literature in the tropical corals, it's highly likely that this gap which we've got between energy production and energy utilization is probably from a breakdown in lipid reserves. And this, of course, raises interesting questions as, well, if corals can eat more food effectively, can they offset any detrimental effects? And for a large part, they can. And some of the tropical literature is, again, showing this now. But again, this raises more questions as, well, what's going to happen to the food sources in the future? Are corals going to get this increased food production, or probably not? Or is ocean acidification also going to affect their food sources? So these are interesting questions which we're yet to work on. But if we move from the short term and into the long term, we've got an ongoing experiment here at Heriot Watt, and we're coming up to a year time point in that. But from our 3-month time point and some of our preliminary results from later on, we're seeing that there's a degree of acclimation. So we saw this decrease in respiration in the short term, but over the longer term, we're not really seeing any significant difference between respiration in control fragments, which are just kept at ambient conditions, just like conditions today, and the corals kept in increased ocean acidification conditions. So there does appear to be some acclimation going on, but this is still early days in the experiment, so we've still got a lot more work to do. But We are seeing some acclimation, but now we need to find out what is the cost of that and does this continue past the 3-month time point. Tropical corals have often been referred to as the rainforests of the sea. And as we're really starting to learn about these cold water coral ecosystems, the same is really becoming apparent. And one of the reasons we haven't known about them until recently is just simply because they are just so deep and so inaccessible to us. But when we go down with our ROVs, our remotely operated vehicles, or submersibles, and we actually see the biodiversity living on these reefs, it's just incredible. And so these cold water corals, because of their complex three-dimensional framework, they support just thousands and thousands of species, and they build up this very complex framework and food web, which is all reliant upon this habitat which they create. So they really are ecosystem engineers. And some of them can be quite large as well. For example, the reefs off Norway are over 2,000 square kilometres. And just to put that into context, that's the same size as the Seychelles reefs, which many people know and they've been diving there on holiday. But so these reefs are very, very important, but there's still a lot of work to be done on them, and this is one of the exciting times for deep sea cold water research.